Two Guys, One Rail Podcast.
Welcome back to the Two Guys, One Rail Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony, here to give you my review after seeing the 20th anniversary edition of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. I went and saw it at Hoyt's Broadmeadows on the extreme screen, and I went with a friend, and for a Friday night screening, this was a great way to finish off the week and start the weekend. This was the recliner seating as well, so we had a pretty decent view, four rows from the screen, and so it was nice once it started to see a message appear, and Anakin himself appeared on the screen and welcoming us to the movie, and I thought that was a nice little surprise. And then it began. The Star Wars fanfare, the scroll of the message introducing you to the chapter, giving you an insight into just where we are at with Episode 3. And it's in the thick of action. That's the best part, because you're locked into the journey. And I was just so happy to be there, getting to experience it again in a big screen. I had seen a post today on X before I went into the theater, was that this special edition screening of Revenge of the Sith is going to be broadcast to 2,775 theaters. Now, in saying that, I don't know if that is just counting America, but this re-release is going to be one of the biggest re-releases worldwide, and I think it's pretty special that a film that came out 20 years ago has resonated so much. And I would be interested to know that if anyone else thinks this way, especially after watching a film that has been around for 20 years, if when you start watching the film, you start thinking in your own mind all the what ifs, all the things that they should have done, could have done. And in hindsight, you know that any creative producer or director talks about things they wish they could go back and change. But it's also like with Star Wars, the stuff that's come out over the last 20 years in that universe. And obviously leading into Episode 3, we've witnessed the progressive journey of Anakin going from the light and slowly evolving to the dark. And Anakin's story is one of tragedy, but it's obviously set off from the jump, being told again and again he's the chosen one, having basically been a slave, and then also starting his journey with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, and the different points in the journey going forward where we saw the death of his mother, the slow burn manipulation by Palpatine, and him getting closer and closer, and obviously us as the audience knowing that Palpatine is the Sith Lord Darth Sidious, but them not realizing it until it was too late. As a viewer, makes you question, oh, imagine if they could have changed this, or maybe if, as a characters, Anakin could have confided in Obi-Wan, or, yeah, just, I think that Anakin was impressionable, but it was also because he was fighting his feelings and fighting his heart, what he wanted and what he needed to do, and stuff that was in his control and stuff that was out of his control. The sad part being that the fact that Anakin didn't feel he could go to Obi-Wan, especially with the struggles that he was facing and how he was feeling, and his fear of losing Padme, and obviously the influence of the Chancellor. You were watching everything just kind of slowly fall apart around him. And as a viewer, you're watching all this happen. You know, you're seeing that there's a lot of rejection Anakin's feeling, but I also felt like it was Prime made Anakin vulnerable to the influences of Palpatine, but it also created conflict with Obi-Wan and amongst the Jedi. It made Anakin start questioning himself, all these things that he was fighting with. And I found myself thinking while I was watching the film, it's amazing how this film, or the films in general, had been received after all these years. Because considering going back to when the prequels came out, the difference in how the cast were treated, and especially Hayden, I remember him getting such volatile hate, you know, bullying when he came out as Anakin. And it actually made him turn away from the universe for quite a while. And I know it was probably a miserable experience. And he hadn't been seen in years doing any appearances for anything Star Wars related. And yeah, like, it was a probably very disheartening experience for him. But since then, just seeing how widely embraced. He and the cast, I mean, throughout all these films, have been in the Star Wars community, largely the newer generations as well. But in the today's age of the fan conventions like D23 and, you know, Star Wars events held worldwide, like what was recently seen in Tokyo, Japan, Star Wars was received lovingly. To see Hayden received so well and just adored by the fans. They don't just love Darth Vader, they love Anakin, but they love Hayden. And especially as he disappeared from the Star Wars world for so long, and he was never seen in anything for Star Wars for a long time, because it was probably just a really, really miserable experience, especially because, like, I know he probably loved the fact that he was in this universe, but I know that he himself, you know, it would have been probably heartbreaking to have been treated the way he was when he first came out as Anakin. I still think that even 20 years ago when I saw Revenge of the Sith with my friend, it was one of the greatest films. And I remember us just sitting there at the end of the film and being blown away. Because obviously we'd grown up watching New Hope and, you know, Empire and Return of the Jedi, and then getting to see the prequels. And now in the last, you know, 10 years, getting to see releases like Rogue One and to see the sheer ferocity of Darth Vader. And I was even saying to my friend tonight that right upon the ending of Revenge of the Sith, I was saying, oh, well, this could go straight into Rogue One. And then Rogue One could go straight into Episode 4. And yeah, it's nice to think, oh, well, you know, this is all connecting. And obviously, the Star Wars universe is just so massive, especially like the stuff that is canon and stuff that's not canon. But it's nice to think there's going to be so much more to come in years to come. And I, for one, plan to be there to see as much as I can of it, that's for sure. And I'm sure I'll be able to enjoy that with Kev and with you, all of you out there. But I'll be interested to hear your thoughts. I know there's many Star Wars fans out there, but surprisingly, you ask people here and there and they're not interested in Star Wars at all. I don't know if it's just because, like, they're into different things, or some people just aren't into movies at all, which, again, I think is sad, because movies, as I've said many times, movies are just one of the greatest escapes from the harsh realities of the world and from daily life, not thinking about work or hassles or the ups and downs that we all face each day. Movies are the greatest escape, and I call it my happy place. Takes me to a place of just everything's clear. And the beauty of movies like Star Wars Episode 3 is the music speaks to you as well. Like, I really love the films that where the music becomes a character in itself. And identifying, because you can hear a certain tune straight away, you know what that's from, and it really means something. I'm a firm believer that not only movies, but the music in them have a real power, and I really loved it. I'll continue loving it. I was even remarking to my friend tonight that even from a young age, all the different films that you could see over a lifetime, starting from like even cartoons as a kid, it's amazing how music is not immediately recognized as the standout feature in a lot of things. But key example, just like a bit off topic for a moment, but I was saying how the music in the original Looney Tunes as a kid, there's a lot of classical music there, and it's music that you wouldn't even think about, but it's just like in classical Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck adventures and stuff like that, where it's like, kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit, kill the rabbit. But in saying in the words, it's the tunes, like, dun, 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 that's classical music, very famous music. From a young age, I mean, I was a rap bag growing up, but like growing up, I've matured quite a bit, I'd like to think. My mum, you know, my sister might debate that, but you ask them, I'm sure they'll tell you I've calmed down a bit over the years, and movies have helped with that. One thing I've adopted a lot is a great love of movie soundtracks. And yeah, you know, the Star Wars soundtracks definitely have been a favorite of mine over the years. And yeah, especially Anakin's themes, you know, especially his transition to becoming Darth Vader. And but again, across all genres, across all kinds of movies, like the iconic themes, obviously Obi-Wan has a theme, Luke Skywalker has a theme, the journey itself has a theme. I mean, each film identifies differently, each film has a certain sequence that stands out that you remember always in certain parts. And it's just like, again, you could hear that music and you know exactly what part of the film it's from. But yeah, I was going off to a bit of a tangent there. Sorry, folks. But like, again, the point I was trying to make is not only loving film, but the music for those films. It just speaks to me in such a powerful way and has been what I would consider one of the greatest comforts to have. And I really genuinely love it. But yeah, going back to the screening tonight, the cinema was quite packed and it was really nice to see a great turnout. I reckon 2/3 of the cinema was full and even people clapped at certain parts. I mean, especially at the beginning, there was a round of applause after Hayden's message at the beginning of the film and at the end of the film. And I remember sitting there just as it was ending and thinking, well, I really enjoyed that. And it was that same great feeling as I felt when I first watched it 20 years ago. And again, I look at these films, I look at this film especially, and I just think of the endless opportunities ahead still. And I was saying to my friend, you know, there's still so much they could do with Darth Vader alone. And what's comforting is I saw an interview recently where someone was talking to Hayden Christensen himself, and he was speaking about how there's endless possibilities where they could explore the broader universe and the many countless novels that have been written and many different conquests and journeys that Darth Vader went on and stuff we have not seen yet. Knowing Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau and the team at Disney and Lucasfilm, I'm sure that we're going to see a lot more of not only Darth Vader, but also Anakin. Yeah, Star Wars is the gift that keeps on giving, like I said, and I believe that we're going to see Darth Vader and more of Obi-Wan set between obviously the different films, but the series potential definitely is there. Those characters, they have so much potential, so much more. But obviously with the wider Star Wars universe, they're going to adapt a lot more. In summary, obviously now I've had a bit more time to think about it and with my fresh thoughts as well. Being in that cinema and being surrounded by fellow Star Wars fans, even when I was walking out, it was just such a nice thing to see like-minded individuals genuinely love Star Wars Episode 3. And yeah, it was very successful in its time. And they already predicted that this screening, which is spanning over a weekend all over the world, is going to make millions. And they wouldn't do that if the demand wasn't there, but also because they had to have known people will respond. You know, you bring these events, people will come. Getting to experience it in a theater with surround sound, full of people, and in saying that as well, like being in a cinema with people who don't ruin it, you know, like you can sit there and there's no distractions. People are literally there to watch the film, not to jerk around and just spoil the experience for anyone. They're there, they're tapped into the film. That's what you want when you go see a movie, especially a movie like this. But yeah, like I said, I had a great time. Yeah, it's great to be a Star Wars fan, great to be a movie fan, and very happy I got to see it again in the cinemas. I have to give it my customary popcorn bucket review. I would say 9 out of 10 popcorn buckets. Again, a very enjoyable movie, great experience, and as I said, great time to be a movie fan. Yeah, there's a lot more to come and I just can't wait. I look forward to so many more things to come out like this and even live experiences. I mean, Evan and I have spoken about hopefully being able to experience a live performance of Star Wars with an orchestra that routinely get performed at the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra. But hey, if it happens and we can be there, we'll be there and we'll bring you with us because that's what this journey's about. But yeah, I think I'll leave it at that. Please hit the like button, subscribe, leave a comment, tell us your thoughts, and yeah, we appreciate your support and we'll see you on the next one.